set salary range from $9.12 to $9.24. Why do you keep this as a rule of time and pay it in the society? Next thing that Jesus is giving a good answer, he asks you, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this. Love says to the neighbor, if I'm right to say that God is one, there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had entered the wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. The second reading is from Psalm 145, continuing on from our first reading, 8 to 21. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your face will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your kingdom is endured through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and you give them their food at the right time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to you to the poor of you, to all the poor of you in school. He fulfills the desires of those who seek the enemy. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all the ungodly, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. And may the Lord bless those readings to us.
You'll be well aware that we're doing a series looking at how we become individuals and a congregation with a focus on evangelism. We've begun that process of change which many of you have taken up. Jesus wants us to talk to the people we know and meet about him, so that he might become a part of more people's lives. We've spoken about the importance of evangelism, and we've looked at how we can prepare ourselves for it. We've also looked at how we conceptualize evangelism to help us to form a picture in our mind of what it looks like. And last week we began to look at conversations which help us to get to the point of talking about Jesus. We do this by deepening our conversations. First, we must build a good rapport and have the respect of the person we're talking to. When getting to know someone, we can go deeper by asking those forward questions about family, occupation, or what people do, recreation, what they enjoy, their hopes and dreams, what they hope to see in their lives and in their world. But when it comes to deepening friendships, we need to be good listeners, And we have to be willing to be vulnerable, having that willingness to share of your personal struggles and weaknesses, which may connect with the person that you're talking with. The deeper and more open a conversation or relationship is, the easier it is to talk about meaningful things, about purpose, and the important things in life, which we can use to lead conversations to be about Jesus. And so today we start biting the bullet, and we get into what do we say. And it's probably no surprise that when we're starting to look at what we're saying, we start from what do you begin with when you're trying to speak to someone about Jesus, and when, you know, what do we say with those first words? And so as we come to this, it's important to have everything that was spoken about previously in mind. We're going to use techniques to try and make this conversation as natural and as less confronting for both you and the person you're trying to talk to as we can be. Remember, we have to be listening and responding to what the person is saying. And we're not going to just ask a question to get to a prescriptive formula for sharing faith. And this is why we have to have available to us a range of stories about Jesus and his life. And we have to be reasonably confident in our understanding of the gospel. We're going to be sharing good news for the person we're talking to. And our aim is to introduce them to Jesus. Just like in our message in being fishers of men, we can start by what I call throwing out bait. And this throwing out bait is when we just put something out there to see how someone responds, to see if there's a bit of a bite on it. Now this is very low level. You might mention that on the weekend you went to church, or some Christian event, or about midweek Bible study, or a prayer group, just to see how the person reacts and responds to that comment. I know that I've shared this story before, but it fits in here, so I'll tell it again. When I was studying to be a minister and people would ask what I did, I was studying theology, but most people would have no idea what that was, and so then I would have to explain what theology was. And I was amazed at the response that I had to that, because the person would invariably find the closest story that they had which connected with Christianity, with God, with church, and tell me about it. And so they would say something, oh yes, I used to go to Sunday school, or I went to a Christian school, or my grandmother once went to church. Whatever it is, every single one of them responded in this way. And just mentioning now that I'm a minister to people will often give me a good insight into someone's openness to God. Most are curious what ministers do during the week. Occasionally you'll get a question about life that they've been wondering about, and that's what we see in our Bible reading with Jesus and the expert of the law or the teacher of the law. Well, sometimes people will start immediately to start opening up. Some, of course, clearly do not want to talk about any religion. Wall goes up. And that's okay too. But mentioning your connection to church is one way to get a read on where the person is in regards to God. And so it helps us to open up a possible conversation about Jesus. Now, one thing about mentioning church to start out with is that you're not trying to force religion on someone, as they might sort of say in their words. You're just mentioning what you do, or where you've been, what you've been up to. So it's not friendly. And if there's no response to this, then you could just politely add it. Have you ever had anything to do with church, or anything to do with like that? Just gently nudge it, just to see what they do. Now, if someone responds by saying that they don't believe in any of that, this doesn't mean necessarily that you just leave it there, because there's a natural response to that, which is, well, what do you believe? Find out. If the person shuts down this question, then maybe for now it's time just to leave that aside. But unless you get some apostolic response or that wall response when we're engaging in evangelism, we always want to be looking to progress the conversation towards talking about Jesus or about the gospel, the good news about it. And asking someone what their beliefs are is often just a good direction to go in the view. Now, no matter how we start a conversation about God, part of what we're doing is assessing the person's openness to God. So that's always a goal of what we are doing with our first mention about something. So the first mention of our beliefs, or our church, or our God. Kind of like taking the temperature of how warm they are towards God. Because what we then do with this information, which they give us, is to figure out how much we can press into just telling the gospel straight out, and also figure out ways of which we can introduce them to Jesus. In our gospel reading, we see Jesus responding to one of the teachers of the law. This teacher of the law was impressed by Jesus' answer to the Sadducees about marriage, and so decided to ask Jesus his question that he was wondering about. Of all the commands, which is the greatest? That's the question he wanted to, he's been thinking about. He's walking around the temple, seeing all the sacrifices and rituals, and he's thinking, is loving God and loving neighbor more important than these things? I think so. So he asked Jesus about it. What's the greatest command? This question by the teacher of the law reveals what is important to him right then and there. What he'd be curious about, having a conversation about. And therefore, as Jesus answers this question, he's going to be answering something which he is interested in hearing about. So he's going to listen. But he's also going to give him a bit of a summary of an important part of the gospel, as well as giving an opportunity to take the temperature of this history of the Lord. In this encounter, he treats the teacher of the law with respect and responds to the question he is asked. In this, Jesus responds to where the teacher of law of the law is at. And so Jesus gives us the greatest command, which is good news, and he links together Deuteronomy 6:4 and Leviticus 19:18. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. So having answered the question, there is now room for the teacher of the law to respond to Jesus' answer. And he does. And he says, yes, that is right. And that is the love of God and the love for our neighbor is more important than the ritual sacrifices. This then gives Jesus the temperature of how close the teacher of the law is to the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, you are not part of the kingdom of God. So how else can we take the temperature of how warm someone is to God? Because we've looked at one way to open a conversation, which is just to say something about being a God in church or something like that. However, another easy way to direct a conversation to include Jesus is when someone shares the difficulty they are having in life. Obviously, start by listening and caring and taking a genuine interest in that person and the problems they're having. But once you've done that, and I'm sure there's more than this and there's ways to do it, but I'm going to give you just a few directions that you could take for to give you some ideas. Number one is that you get off the phone. I believe that God cares for you and that he will help you if you ask him. And that's just what we heard in Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Okay? So we believe that God hears those who call on him. So we invite them to pray. And we might offer to pray for them. We might offer to pray with them. The second is to share how we find Jesus has been a great help for you when you've gone through difficulty. What's your story of walking with Jesus? Maybe there's a Bible story that you know about Jesus, which is similar to this story with the person which you can connect in to show how Jesus cares and how he responds to someone in that sort of situation. Third, is one which Craig Moshefsky, a minister in the United Church, who's up in Weaver, it's one that he lived and he shared with me just a couple of weeks ago, and I really like it. And what he does is he tells the person that God is on their side and wants to help them. A lot of people think of God that because of their waywardness, that God doesn't care about them, or that he has nothing to do with them, or even that he's against them. But again, Psalm 45 tells us in verse 8 to 9 and 14, God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all his name. And the Lord upholds all who fall, and he lifts up all who are bowed down. So after having had a quite decent conversation with the person he's talking to, and showing that genuine interest in that person's life, Craig will often say something like, look, I'm a minister, and I just want to tell you that Jesus is for you, not against you, and he wants to help you with what you're dealing with. Would you like me to tell you more about that? And Craig tells me that he has, in the high 90% success rate of people wanting to know more when puts that God. Why? Because it's good news. Of course, you have to have some idea of what you're doing. Of course, if someone has the good news, so maybe Psalm 145 would be a great place to start. You want to know what to say. Now, of course, you can move from one of these to the other, to another. You can use all three of them, and it doesn't matter what order. They're just three ideas. And don't remember to write these three ideas, but they're three ideas to help you think about how you might do this. And everything, and every one of these ways that we've looked at so far, works in that more cold evangelism, when you just don't know the person or don't know them very well. It also works with friends and family. So remember, as we learn from Jesus, we are always responding to the person we're talking to. And so what this means is that we're going to bring out God and Jesus and the gospel in many, many different ways, in a number of different ways. So just be prepared for that. Another way to share the good news is to use people's natural curiosity. And this is what happens when I share the good news with someone. And also what happened when I was sharing the people that I did theology. People didn't know what I was doing, they didn't know what theology was. So that means that they didn't ask a question about that. And then so that gives me in that situation the opportunity not to say what did I do, but to share something of the gospel in that. Why am I doing it? You know, why is it important to me? It gives me that opportunity. They've asked me a question. And I must say, in the past, I haven't always been the best at this. Something that I need to work on and to be always thinking about, to be mindful of. Because sometimes I've just sort of spoken about what I do from day to day, and, you know, that's not what I shouldn't be doing. And so this is something that I didn't have to work on for a long time. But you can say, what can you raise about, what can you raise which is bringing about some natural curiosity? What have you been to? And what have you been listening to that they're not automatically going to know what that is? And so they'll ask you about it, giving you that opportunity. So as you're talking about that Christian thing, share the gospel. As a part of it. Or, again, on this idea of curiosity, maybe you share something that you've been thinking about, which might create interest. and is connected with God in some way. Maybe ask a searching question. Have you taken, depending on what your verse is, right? Have you taken the Bible seriously to find out if there's anything worth, anything that's worth listening to? Have you read that Jesus? And what do you think about it? Or perhaps you go into the Jesus topic, ask someone what they think life's meaning is and purpose is, and share in that conversation about how God's existence is important to you, and understand what your meaning and purpose is in life. Anyone when talking to friends who have had a, or people who have had a fast connection with God, sometimes you just bring it up as far as catching up on how life's going. I remember coming back from Mount Isa, when I was coming back to Brisbane for Christmas and New Year's, and for New Year's Eve, a group of church friends and I, we went in a couple of cars down to spend New Year's on the beach on the Gold Coast. And so, for me, I was catching up with friends I hadn't seen for a year or more. Just wanted to know how everyone was going. In the car trip down, I was asked to go over sitting next to me in the car. So how's you and Jesus going? I knew that her family had been a part of the church. She had brought in her best friend in the church community. And I thought, come today, how's Jesus going? So just ask. And we started having a great conversation, which lasted the whole car trip down. About how everything was going, not just for her, but for everyone in the car. And one of my friends said to me on the bridge, I'm glad you wanted to have that conversation with her for ages. Just know how to bring it up. Just bring it up. So there are many ways to start having a conversation, which can result in talking about Jesus. But when you do, start by asking that question or making that statement. It's going to give you a real temperature of how warm that person is to Jesus, towards God. And this will help inform you how quickly you can talk about the gospel, as well as give you some insight into what direction is the best avenue to take in sharing the gospel with this person. And that's what we're going to be looking at in the future weeks, where we are from here. But so far, so good, right? It's pretty easy, isn't it? You can order that, right? Of course you can. Amen.